Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. We control, well, there isn't a horizontal or vertical in your smartphone. It's just the LCD and the speakers. Welcome to the All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. I'm Ewan Spence, here to give you a weekly look back and look forward at the world of Windows Phone. I'm reliably informed that they would like to no longer be called guests. Therefore, I will now give each of them a choice of what they wish to be called. Rafe. Co-host?
Co-host is quite happy for me. Hello, everybody. Yes, I'm Rafe Blanford.
And Rafe is our first co-host. Steve, co-host, chair, anything else?
Well, guest is okay as long as you put the word star after it.
Okay, guest star. Obviously, in the mold of Jonathan Harris from Lost in Space, we have Steve Litchfield. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you very much.
David, do you have a title in mind?
I'll be a panellist.
You'll be a panellist, so there we go. I can't think of anything witty about a panellist, so I shall call you Jimmy Carr. David Gilson joins us as well. You join us too. Thank you for listening. At www.allaboutwindowsphone.com, you can leave your comments on the podcast, our news stories, our flow items, links throughout the week to the interesting stuff that we find we talk about on Windows Phone. This is Insight number 4, and we are recording on Tuesday, the 22nd of November. And that sounds so grand. I wish I had Orson Welles still alive to do that bit for the voiceover. We're going to go into the news. First of all, lots of little bits to wrap up. The HTC Titan has hit the American networks on AT&T. Reviews are coming in thick and fast from around the web. It's getting a lot of good reaction. Steve, I know that you're kind of chomping at the bit as well for our hardware to pop in.
Yes, it should be arriving any moment. I'm watching out for the DHL van. I shall let people know if it arrives during the podcast. Otherwise, there will be a review up probably within a week or so on allaboutwindowsphone.com. Reviews around the web have been mixed, I would say. Half the people absolutely love it. The best thing since sliced bread. The other half say it's way too big. I suspect the truth is somewhere in between. Certainly, it's a natural upgrade to the HD7. Whether it's a tiny bit too big for me personally is another matter. But I'm sure I'll have lots to say, positive and negative, about the device.
Of course, we also have the slightly smaller HTC Radar coming in. David, I understand you're in the Sprint box, ready to pick up that one. Yes.
Yes, I am. I'm watching from my watchtower for the DHL van to arrive. Because Steve's got the HD7 and he's been looking at its successor, the Titan. I have the Mertz out here, so I'll be looking at its successor, the Radar, and good comparisons to come.
There we go. Rafe, I want to bring up another phone with you. We're just trying to get in touch with ZTE because it's only at the moment being released in France, and that's the ZTE Tanya. This is essentially, you know, where the Titan has went for as big a spec as possible, the biggest screen, the best camera. The Tanya goes the other way. It's literally cut down, 4 gig of storage, basic camera. But this is probably a bigger signpost towards Windows Phone than the Titan.
It is in a sense because it's been said for a while now that Windows Phone, in order to, you know, find a great degree of success, is going to have to move out of just the high-end space. And the Tanya is kind of an example of this. I mean, it's still a relatively high-end product, but it's clearly one that's looking to cut costs. I mean, in that mold, something like the Radar and the Nokia 710 are looking to do the same thing. But ZTE is well known for its kind of budget range of smartphones. SFR in France is kind of the same as Orange in the UK, well known for their kind of San Francisco Android handsets, for example, which often bring pretty impressive specs for a pretty good price. And so the Tanya is kind of in that same mold, but obviously for Windows Phone. So it'll be interesting to see how this one does. We'll try and pick one up if we possibly can once it's out of sort of geographic restrictions. But this is a good example of kind of the competitive forces in the mobile marketplace in general, kind of the rise of some of the Chinese-based or the Asian-based OEMs, the manufacturers, who are maybe going against the more traditional manufacturers in Europe, North America, and obviously some of the ones out there, the established ones like Samsung, and perhaps you could put HTC in that bracket. But, you know, Huawei and ZTE have both expressed an interest in Windows Phone, and I think where we'll see them having the biggest impact is just as in this instance, kind of almost an operator branded Windows Phone handset, and that's where they've done well in the Android space. So I do think this one is kind of an interesting signpost of things to come.
And of course, HTC started off as the branded, you know, doing white brands for Windows Mobile right back at the early part of the 21st century and got themselves established that way. So ZTE on the rise as well. What else do we have? The Samsung Focus S and Focus Flash pretty much straight to America at the moment. No word whether the Focus S is actually going to leave that territory there. And of course, if you're listening to America, the amazing Black Friday, when everybody goes out into special deals, means you can pick up these handsets for 1 cent. That's 0.8 of a British penny. But of course, you're still going to be paying $70 a month on that on your contract. But it's nice to see we've got the second wave of handsets coming in solidly behind that, picking up the mango. Samsung are there, HTC are there, ZTE bringing up the points. And of course, we have the Nokia Lumia as well. Working through the territories, I see Armenia and Lithuania are going to be coming up in the early part of December. But also, the question's always been, when is it going to hit America? And Rafe, you don't sponsor the entire South Hall at CES and brand it the Nokia Hall for nothing.
No, I mean, Stephen Elop has broadly hinted in a variety of interviews that we've seen come over in the last couple of weeks, ever since Nokia World, in fact, that they was working with the American carriers and that it would be launching in 2012. And I think the best guess is that the announcement will get made at CES, and that's why Nokia sort of looking to make a push there. The interesting thing is really going to be in the details. I mean, what form of the handset's going to take, which operators are going to partner with it. It's looking increasingly like it may well be AT&T and Verizon and possibly T-Mobile as well. We haven't heard much about Sprint yet, but obviously with Verizon that implies possibly CDMA, possibly LT handsets. So I think what we're going to see is probably a variation on the Nokia 800, but with the right 3G bands or possibly 4G in the case of LTE for the US market. It may be we'll see a new design come in as well. It'll be interesting to see whether there's any changes to the kind of the base specifications. There's a chance that you could maybe introduce a front-facing camera given that there have been an extra couple of months of development time. But it's quite clear from what's been said by Stephen Elop, and obviously this CES promo is going to be part of it, that Nokia are looking to make a very big splash when they get into the US, and he's on the record as saying, you know, it's going to be similar levels of marketing to that which we're seeing in the European launch countries. So that's going to kind of be pretty much unprecedented for Nokia in the smartphone space in the last few years in the States, where it has, you know, with the Symbian devices, dwindled down to next to nothing. I think it was three or four handsets, things like the Neuron, the N75, and a couple of other devices like the E71X were available via carriers in the US. But other than that, it was buying SIM-free, which meant it basically the Symbian devices went nowhere. They were just a couple of percent at the market at the most. And so really the big thing about CES, it's kind of a return for Nokia to the US smartphone market. As I say, we'll have to wait for the exact details, but there's more spoilers coming out every day. And I think it would be really interesting to see what kind of response they get, because I also think it's going to see, you know, Windows Phone given a renewed level of attention that perhaps it hasn't quite seen before in the States. I mean, we're seeing a lot of information around the sort of second-gen device launches, and Microsoft is obviously putting in some campaign marketing dollars, and they've had various events, you know, their Insider Series and things like that around the States. But it sort of pales into insignificant next to what Nokia has done, particularly in the UK market. That's the one we know best. We've seen the TV advertising. There's all kinds of events and sponsorships going on. So I do wonder just how big a splash this could be. And, you know, with positive reviews from a lot of the US media saying we really want the 800 available in the US, it'll be interesting to see how Nokia deliver on that in early 2012.
I just want to actually ask you a point on behalf of the listeners and the readers of the site here, Rafe, on spoilers. He said there's a lot going around the internet. Now, for those people who are new to the All About Families, they haven't seen any of them on our website, have they?
Yes, that's right, Ewan. I mean, on the All About sites, we've long had a policy of not talking about leaks or rumours, if you will. And there's two reasons for that, really. It's very difficult to ever confirm them, and would rather report the news when it's fact-based and we can be 100% sure of the accuracy. So when you read something on any of the All About sites, you can really take that to the bank. And there are some legal issues around as well, but it's mainly around the accuracy and the professionalism of the reporting. As you can imagine, for anything like that, it's very dubious sometimes where the sources come from, and I'm sure people have seen the inaccurate reporting and the sort of basically wrong rumours around every single trade event. The one thing you can always be sure about is that there are new devices, new features, new things on the way. And we take the view that it's better to actually report them when they're sort of officially announced, It's fun to speculate about the future, and we do that sometimes. And obviously, there are grey areas. I mean, for example, with this, Stephen Elop has been giving a whole series of interviews saying that Nokia is going to launch in the US in 2012, so there's no surprise there. But just as I've done, I haven't sort of given any concrete details. I've speculated about some of the operators and what that might mean. And there's some broad hints dropped in the interview, but nothing absolutely definite. And there's certainly no one saying it definitely will launch at CES, but you can infer a certain amount. So that's the most you'll ever see us do. But if there's a direct leak of something, it's not something we choose to cover. We do appreciate some people like to know about that stuff, but there are many other sites out there, but we prefer to take kind of the authoritative approach and, if you will, be the sort of the paper of record, as we termed it in the Symbian world, and we're aiming to do the same thing in the Windows Phone world with allaboutwindowsphone.com.
Obviously, there are lots of other sites out there. We link to these stuff through Flow. And in terms of the spoiler stuff, again, we may well not link to it. So if it doesn't show up on us, it doesn't mean we haven't seen it. It means that we're just going, we'll wait until we actually hear it in black and white on the press release. All that is up for discussion in our comment system, by the way. Rafe, I, Steve and David, we're all engaging in there. We're all talking quite happily and chatting with you guys all about WindowsPhone.com. So do feel free to drop by. If you want to question that or say yay or nay or suggest to us where the thin red line is, then please let us know. Steve, speaking of thin red lines, 600 miles an hour straight down on a Hercules C130. Is it possible on my smartphone yet?
Not quite. You can do it in an F18, though. This is a reference to we don't cover updates for every single application out there, but this particular one was quite notable. I did a story on the site on allaboutwindowsphone.com. Infinite Flight, which I noted as my favorite flight simulator, and you quite rightly said,
it's the only flight simulator.
Indeed, it's also my favorite. And basically, it's a flagship game for the platform. Basically, this adds the F-18 Hornet and the Boeing 787 900 Dreamliner. Basically, the developer is asking for requests at each point, so people could say, well, I want this plane in or that plane. And they're basically being added and modeled. They're adding extra runways, improving the physics right, left, and center. It's a stunningly good flight simulator. And yes, it's the only one on Windows Phone. So if you've got anything of the Aviator and you do go and download this and make sure you grab the update. It's still very early days, though, considering how far flight simulators could go in terms of modeling the entire world and every single plane with every single feature. There's obviously a staggering distance to go, but so far it's already incredibly fun to play. It really shows off what the platform can do, even on the single core processors. So yeah, an unreserved thumbs up from me.
And a thumbs up from me as well. Even in this next update, I have noticed that the landing, a three-point landing with a tail-dragging aircraft, such as the Spitfire, is actually now much more accurate. And the braking on the ground as you're slowing down the runway is far more accurate. Really enjoying that one as well. Also, with Ministry of Sound, this is an interesting one. It's still available in the store for $149 for most people, but there's now an identical version released by Nokia that's available for free. This is Nokia's way of getting more applications and more brand names on their handsets out there. And I find this really interesting because, as I said when we reported it, very few people really are into the Ministry of Sound. It's one nightclub in London with a dance label attached to it, but it's such a huge brand name. I mean, even Rafe, you've heard of Ministry of Sound, haven't you?
I'd like to pretend I have, but I'm sort of vaguely aware of the name, but I now know that it's a dance club, which is one thing I didn't know about 30 seconds ago.
But the point is, you knew the name, and you would recognise the logo when you saw it like in a PR shot or just when it's sitting on a handset in a store in the UK market.
I did, and I'm sure you're going to say it's really all about the perception that it's, you know, using relevant local brands as well.
Given that I'm a fan of Nicholas Parsons and we don't do repetition, we'll move on to our next subject, ding, which is our feature discussion point on applications. Rafe, you noted this last week in the podcast, which is that the marketplace has passed 40,000 applications. It got written up for the site, lots of nice, pretty stats and graphs and stuff and everything. This story went round the web. And I really found it interesting because every site, almost to a man, every single site linked back to All About Windows Phone as the source. So thank you very much. That's nice to see that the Windows Phone marketplace is less cutthroat than others and still has that sense of community. But it's also that some of them are saying, this is an astounding pace of growth in applications. And there was another site that said, oh, Windows Phone limps over the 40,000 applications mark, all from the same numbers. And it's like, this has got me thinking, and this is what I want to ask your opinion as a little bit of our discussion point in the middle here. 40,000 applications on Windows Phone, is it enough? Steve, I'll come to you on that one. It's a very simple question. Run with that one for me. Give me the argument. Is it enough? Yes or no?
Am I only allowed one-word answers?
No. A minute or two. One-word answers. That's not just a minute. No hesitation, repetition, deviation or repetition. Go.
I would say it is enough as long as there's a couple of extra top brand name applications do come on board. We're still waiting for a few. We can probably pull out a list on the site at some point. But basically, most of the big names are already on Windows Phone. I've argued long and hard on various other sites, including allaboutsymbian.com, that most people actually only need about 10 or so really good applications on the phone. They do not need 40,000. They certainly don't need 500,000, which is the current numbers in the iPhone App Store, or very similar to that in the Android marketplace. 40,000 is a lot of applications. If you were to try one app every 10 minutes, you'd be there for about 2 years. Essentially, most people need the basic social applications, a lot of which is built into Windows Phone. They might need a couple of utilities, things to do with their work, you know, vertical market applications. They'll probably need a selection of games that they enjoy, and that's very subjective, and they probably want to choose from a pool of, I don't know, 100, 200 games, pull a few nice titles out they enjoy playing. Add all that up, you only get to a pool of about 300 or 400, and here we've got 40,000, and some people are saying, this is not enough, and it's too slow. I absolutely give up. But there's no way anyone can really even look through 40,000, let alone try them all, let alone appreciate them all. So, yes, it's more than enough. Good to see that developers are still pushing the boundaries, though. We still like to see a few other, more of the big names come in, and that will be good news. But don't get too hung up on them at the borderline, the mainline 40,000 number. It's not everything.
So, David, I'm sitting here in our sort of chat room that we have running in the background. You're champing at the bit to jump in here on this one, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I think the thing with the 40,000 is that, yes, Steve's right in that you'll never get through all 40,000 on your own. But the thing is, it really depends on which apps, which 40,000 does it have. If you have modest requirements, you'll probably be happy and be able to find everything you need. If you have very niche requirements, well, then it's more hit and miss. You may or may not find what you want. For example, people who use Google Reader or Read It Later will be very happy because there's multiple apps for those services. But if you happen to use Skype, PayPal, or Audioboo, well, then you're going to be very frustrated. And just on a side note, I think there is also a quality issue as well, because I think a lot of the apps out there have yet to adopt the Mango features too.
Steve, do you want to come back on that point?
Yes, just very quickly. I mean, people make this argument all the time that you need the really wide choice. You don't just need the same, 10 applications or 20 apps or 30 apps. You need that long tail. But in actual fact, I mean, I've done this exercise on other platforms. I did it on the Symbian platform. I was frustrated by the 20,000 applications in the Nokia store over there for the Symbian phones, and I actually thought, so much of this, 95% of this, is absolute rubbish. And I actually produced a crowdsourced, curated list of applications, not games, pure applications. I got to about 100, I think, and I can provide the link if people need it. And those 100 basically will provide all the applications that 99.99% of the population need. 100. And again, add 200 games to that, and you have got more or less the full set. Yes, there are a couple of names David just mentioned. Once they're added, we really don't need to go into the 100,000, 200,000 mark, but I've ranted enough.
Rafe, do you want to take the other side of the coin then? We do need that 400,000, 500,000. The platform does, doesn't it?
I mean, I actually agree with a lot of what David and Steve have said there, but yes, I think there is a need for more applications, and there always will be. There are a couple of points that are worth addressing here. Some of the feedback I've seen has said, there's X 100,000 applications in Android and iOS. It's sort of 300 and 500,000 respectively. It's just worth remembering we did a piece when Windows Marketplace passed 35,000 apps and did a comparison for them in the first year. And actually, Windows Phone sits roughly in between the two. Depending on how you measure things, iOS got to about 50,000 in the first 12 months. Android got to about 20,000. Nokia Store, if you look at Symbian applications, it did maybe 15,000. That's harder to measure. So actually, relatively speaking, Windows Phone is doing well. But of course, there's always going to be that comparison impure metric turns against other app stores. So purely from a perception point of view, I think that's going to be an important comparison that gets made. I would add with that that I think it's a little bit meaningless. It is about the quality of applications. And just to offer you an interesting stat with regard to that, in terms of applications that are rated over 4, in other words, ones that you might consider the sort of better rating and actually have more than sort of a handful of ratings, there's about 1,600 applications in the Windows marketplace that fulfill that criteria. So that kind of harks back to what Steve was saying. However, it's also a long tail issue. Yes, it's true that most people only use a handful of applications, but everyone uses different applications. And for one person, the essential app might be something that's not there yet. So I think there's always a case for more is better, because you're going to be able to meet more and more people's kind of minimum requirements. And to a certain extent as well, apps, and I think particularly games, have become almost consumable content, in the sense that you might play them for a couple of months and then uninstall them or stop playing them. And so there's always a need for fresh turnover. That's particularly true of apps, but I mean, I would actually say there's almost two category of apps as well, in the sense that you've got the kind of, if you like, your productivity or your experience enhancing applications that, you know, they're quite often the ones that address a particular service, be it Skype or Read It Later or whatever, that you kind of use once a week or every day. And then there's the more disposable applications that might be something, you know, doing something fun, you know, playing with photos or maybe around a particular event. And so I think what you draw from that is there's always a need for a fresh injection of applications. I think in terms of, you know, these numbers, I would actually say probably the comfortable barrier is, you know, is probably 100,000. That will be a kind of almost a psychological point where you go, yep, there's plenty of applications. But I don't think any of the platform providers, and this is something that applies to all app stores, can ever afford to stand still, because it's always a metric by which they'll be judged. And, you know, people are always going to be looking for fresh content. I think we'll move away from these kind of absolute metrics of numbers, and we're going to do that ourselves. We're going to keep on reporting these things, because I know there's a lot of interest, but we're trying to dig up some interesting things. I mean, I just did that there for highly rated applications, but you can also look at apps that have a proper experience. And I was talking to Nokia and Microsoft about this a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying, yes, the numbers are important, but also we want an emphasis on, you know, the type of applications. And they were saying, you know, an application that deep links via something like Live Tiles, and they gave example everyone knows about the British Airways app with a boarding pass, is actually a more valuable application than something that's just a simple feed reader. And that's absolutely right. And there isn't a very easy way to measure that kind of metric about, you know, what's the experience being provided, because ultimately that's what matters to consumers. And so while I think this 40,000 milestone is important, and of course there'll be ones after this as well, it's dangerous just to be obsessed by this one metric. But I do feel at this point it's quite clear that the Windows Phone marketplace is seen as being behind iOS and Android, and therefore the next 60,000 applications are very important. And that will continue ever afterwards, really. I mean, that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and I think metrics is something that can always be gamed. But I think, so if I was in charge of assessing an app store, I think that the way I'd like to perhaps go about it, because I think however many app raw titles you can say your application store has, it's always going to be an inflated number, because there's always lots of clones of applications. I mean, how many different calculators or Minesweeper games do we really need? But what would be interesting would be to get plot some sort of like skewed bell curve, similar to what Steve curated, and count the number of maybe top one or two premier applications for each service or each class in its own right, and say, well, we have, this is our like top starring gallery of premier applications. These are the big titles that we've got that we think are valuable.
The debate, of course, can continue online, allaboutwindowsphone.com. But of course, if you want 10 really good applications, the easiest way to do that is program a million and choose the best 10. But let's close off. Sum up the App Store experience and how it's doing for Windows Phone as it stands just now in a sentence from each of you. Rafe, we'll go with you first.
Promising, but needs to deliver further applications.
David.
I'm going to copy Riff. I think what's there is good so far, but we do need more breadth.
Typical application in App Store, copy a successful one and try and get the credit for it. And Steve, for one final wrap-up on App Stores.
I'm quite happy with it as it is, and I'm still finding stuff. I think, ooh, that's nice. So, yes, thumbs up.
Ooh, that's nice. How very, very British. There we go. So let's finish off with that one. It's time for our application of the week. We've been moving, obviously, applications into our live tiles and start menus in and out again, all we do, to try and find the best of the Windows Phone world. And now it's time for what have you been enjoying this week? David, last week I asked you to do the theme tune. Have you improved it for this week?
I haven't at all.
You haven't at all, so we don't actually have. If you're out there and you're a budding author and would like to be a 10-second jingle on a podcast, please get in touch with us at rafe@allaboutwindowsphone.com. In the meantime, David, what's your application of the week?
Well, at the risk of alienating lots of Windows fans, I am going to stick with my original suggestion, which was the Google Search application, because I don't think we need to get religious about all the tech things, and a lot of people may be very happy using Google services, but wanting to use a Windows phone. So they want to have some of their home comforts around. And even though Bing is hard-coded into the WP7 search button, there is an application that you can add to your phone that does a Google search, and it will record your search history and note your location and give you local search results in the Google search results. So if you prefer the results of Google to Bing, you can add this and just search for Google search in the marketplace, and you can run it off your app list or put it as a live tile. And it works very nicely as a Google search launcher.
So there you go. And if you're a budding science fiction author, search for Google search. That's a perfect name for a book. Thank you very much for that one, David. Steve, we'll move to you next in this one. Application of the week.
My application of the week is more than an app. It's actually a kind of suite. And it's a name that may be familiar if you've been involved with other platforms in the past. It's HandySafe. Now, back from the year dot, certainly Rafe and myself, we kept all our private data on our phones in a thing called HandySafe, which later became HandySafe Pro. And it's a bit of a silo, really. It was wonderful being able to keep all our secret data in sync between our phones and even our PCs, and all at entry-level synchronization. Really, really impressive. All our secrets all in one place. But then we thought, well, okay, we're now moving to a cross-platform world. We want to experiment with Android, with iOS, with Windows Phone, even BlackBerry. And how do we take that data with us? And it became a real pain, and there are various workarounds have been suggested and various import mechanisms, none of which really work well, until I spotted that the folks at Epochware, also known as penreader.com, they've made a version of their desktop, just a HandySafe desktop, which now synchronizes to all of these platforms all in one go. So basically, you can keep your Symbian smartphone, your Android smartphone, your Windows Phone smartphone, your iPhone, and your Samsung Barda phone, all with exactly the same secret data, all kept in perfect entry-level synchronization. So handy-safe.com, go and have a look at that, and it'll give you the links to the various applications in the various stores, and also to the desktop, which is the important bit you need. But it works really, really well, and it's just so good to have exactly the information I want, whatever platform I choose to be using, and especially on Windows Phone.
Or you could use a file of fax. you could, but then it gets wet and lost. I want to go for the updates of 4th and Mayo this week. Those of you who've been listening and reading for a while will realize that Foursquare's native application, when it hit V2.0 in Mango, was, in my mind, one of the best uses of the Metro UI and shows what a third-party application could do with Windows Phone if it really tried. Up until that point, the third-party client Forth and Mayo had been people's weapon of geolocation, social networking, here I am, earned some badges. And it got leapfrogged. It's leapfrogged back again. Forth and Mayo is now up to its third version. Live tile support, multiple live tile support. It's a much faster interface. It supports the fast app switching. There is a lot going on here. We're going to have a full review later on in the week on the website of this one. But if you're using Foursquare at all, Forth and Mayo is also a free download, just as the official client is, so you can give them a head-to-head yourself. For me personally, apart from the fact that the official client has the leaderboard as the live tile, I would be switching to Forth and Mayo. 100%. As it is, it's taking about 97% of my Foursquare duties at the moment. Rafe, let's close up with your good self application of the week.
Yes, staying with the social theme that you've established there, this is Mido, which is a Twitter client. There's actually been lots of back and forth on which is the best Twitter client on Windows Phone, and I don't think it's been satisfactory answered yet. There's definitely room for improvement. Although the official Twitter application got some updates this week, it's I still think relatively limited, and obviously there's the built-in functionality in the Mango as well, but again, that's limited in the sense that kicking off a dedicated Twitter experience is not really what it's aimed at doing. It's sort of bringing in the social information. And so there's various apps out there, something like Rory or Birdsong. They're both good. But a new one that caught my eye, or rather it's updated, which is why it caught my eye, is Mehdoh, and that's spelled M-E-H-D-O-H. And it's sort of pretty full functionality in terms of what you might expect from a Twitter client. It's been nicely implemented in terms of the UI. It's sort of got a Metro-ish feel about it. There are some, I'd say it's slightly more compact with more information on the screen than the typical Metro application. But, you know, it does follow the style guide for the most part. This is for a single user account, so if you use multiple accounts on Twitter, you probably will want to avoid this application. But if you're just looking for, you know, your own personal Twitter account, actually, I can thoroughly recommend this one. It's fast and the performance is really noticeable with sort of fast app switching and all that kind of thing, which does make a big difference, especially for an application like Twitter, where you do tend to switch in and out of it fairly rapidly. And, you know, things like retweeting, the ability to write things quickly, look at trending topics, look at who's following who, look at your own followers and all that kind of thing. It's all built into this application and it's pretty slickly done. So it's available in the marketplace. If you want this one, go and have a look at it. I can certainly recommend it for me for a sort of single case of Twitter usage. But so there is still room for improvement. But one thing that caught my eye about this was the developer's pretty good about providing updates and responding to feedback. And so I suspect this is an application that will continue to improve over the next couple of months.
So there you go. Of course, if you have your own application choices, let us know. If you want us to have a look at a review, if you're a developer and want a little bit of showcasing of your application, our emails are firstname@allaboutwindowsphone.com. That is your All About Windows Phone podcast for the week. It's been a momentous week. Not only have we got new devices on board, we've got reviews coming in. It's also the week in which Germany has announced that they will be airing the first version of Rocky the Musical next November. A lot can happen in 12 months. Hopefully that plan will change. But what I do know is that 12 months Windows Phone is going to carry on rising and we'll be charting the progress by the year, by the month, by the week, and by the day. Thank you very much to my co-host.
Thanks, everybody.
My co-host, David Gilson.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
My, Robinson Warning, danger, danger, special guest star, Steve Litchfield.
You remember. Goodbye, everyone.
How could I ever forget that sort of thing? And thank you all out there for listening. I'm Ewan Spence. This has been your All About Windows Insight Phone podcast. Catch us on the web. Catch you here next week. And if you're listening just while you're out walking, keep your eyes open. Don't bump into a lamppost.